Everybody feeling all right this morning? If you have your Bibles, you can open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read a verse of scripture there in just a minute. This morning, I'm going to speak about your passport to your destiny. Your passport to your destiny. Everybody has one, and we need to know how to use it. For the last several weeks and months, the word of the Lord coming to us has been for our spiritual maturity. We invest so much money and so much time taking care of the outside, our physical body, medical attention, food we eat, entertainment, places we go, even education. We'll spend 18, 20, 24, 26 years educating ourselves and spend the least amount of time and effort and focus on the part of us that will last forever. That is the spirit. God is calling for an adjustment to that, and He's growing us up spiritually. It's all about growth and development spiritually. And this is a powerful verse of scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, the New Living Translation reads like this. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Now, every one of those words are powerful. A couple of things I notice at first glance. It says those of us who've had the veil removed, that is when we came out of darkness and were able to see the salvation of the Lord begin working in us. It says two things about the glory of the Lord. First of all, we can see it, and then we can reflect it. It's one thing to see the glory of God. It's another thing altogether to be a reflection of His glory. It has to come in that order. There are many people, in fact, everybody who's had the veil removed can see the glory of God. It's a glorious thing God begins doing in each of us the moment we're born again. But then as we mature, over time, we're able to be a reflection of the glory of God that we saw when we were born again. And it says that we become more and more like Him as we're changed into His glorious image. The King James Version says, from glory to glory. The Amplified Translation says, in ever-increasing splendor, from one degree of glory to another. And so, life, and especially the Christian life, our spiritual journey, is filled with levels of glory. Now, all of us may be at different levels today. I'm not sure what level you are today. But wherever you are, look at it, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you're not intended to stay at this level forever. The intention for God, of God for us as His children, is that we spiritually mature and we don't plateau and stay at one level when there are higher levels of glory. Ever-increasing splendor. We become more and more like Him as we mature in the Spirit. And how we behave and handle ourselves at our present level of glory determines our passport to the next level. Now, there's a haunting verse of Scripture in the New Testament where Paul writes and refers to two people, and he says of them that they progressed to a certain point and then they progressed no further. And Paul said their folly was immediately made known. And so the danger in this journey, it is a marathon. It's a lifelong journey, developing, maturing in the Spirit. The danger is that we stop at a lower level and never realize how we handle this level right now, everything that's going on in our life right now, That will determine how we get to the next level, a higher level. God never intends you to stay where you are at this level. It's like climbing, walking, climbing flights of stairs. I say that with dread because for 1 year, we lived in an apartment building on the fourth floor of this apartment, and it had no elevator. So every time we walked in or out of the door, we had to walk up or down four flights of stairs. Now, we like elevators, or at least escalators. We don't like to take the stairs one step at a time. But many of those days, we would go to the market and get food, bags of heavy potatoes, usually, and we would walk up those steps, every four stories to our apartment building. And the thing we did appreciate while we were going from one level to the other, up those stairs with heavy armfuls, is we'd get to stop at a level long enough to catch a breath. Sometimes the bags of potatoes were so heavy, I was worn out when I got to the second floor. Just so. But no, I don't live on the second floor. I can stay long enough to catch a breath and get a second wind and then look at the next flight in front of me, and then I'm off again. But thank God when I get to the next level, I can stop long enough, just long enough. Not going to live there. Not my house. But catch a breath and focus on the next level I've got to get to. And that's the way it is with the Spirit. We go from one degree of glory to another. And every level in life has its challenges to overcome and its victories to celebrate. Every level, wherever you are right now, whatever level your life finds you right now, has a God-given assignment that must be accomplished at this level. And when you accomplish it, that's your passport to the next level. Eventually, you step into your destiny. Now, the word of the Lord says we go from one degree of glory to another, from glory to glory. It's progressive. And some of you can look around right now and say, I don't see anything glorious about this. I don't see anything that can reflect the glory of God where I am right now. I see a mess. I don't see any glory. Well, then go to work turning your mess into glory. Go ahead and do what God is requiring you to do at this level right now. The Bible does not say He will take you from mess to glory. He says from glory to glory. So wherever you are right now, make it glorious. Reflect the glory of God, whatever level you're on right now. Then you qualify to go to a higher level. Now I only have 3 points quickly this morning. Quickly. Everybody say quickly. I think you want that. As you go from one level to the other, 3 things to remember. Number one, don't undervalue who you are today. Now, you're not all you're going to be. You're going to be the highest version upgrade of yourself that you can possibly imagine in your future. You're not there yet. It's a journey. You've not arrived at a destination. We're still spiritually maturing into all that we will be. But don't underestimate or undervalue who you already are today. God already values you highly, even at your present level. So much so that He sent His Son who died for you. You can tell the value of a thing by the price that was paid for it. And you were bought with a high price. You were already of great value. So don't undervalue who you are right now at your present level. God's got enough right now where you are to work with, to develop you, to mature you, to complete and to perfect you into the person you will one day become. Full reflection of His glory. But don't undervalue who you are presently. Gideon is an example of that. Gideon was shy, awkward, backward, dysfunctional, disconnected, lacking confidence. He was the youngest in his family. He was the runt of the litter. He was the weakest. He was the one nobody expected anything great out of. And so he was stuck at a level. And it was a low level. It was entry level. And he never dreamed probably he would ever get out of that low level. He didn't see much value in himself, but God did. And the Lord sent an angel to him when Israel was in trouble and had huge enemies to defeat. And the angel appeared to Gideon while Gideon was just working a minimum wage job or less, just threshing wheat in the threshing room. I mean, just hard labor, a field worker. And he was happy, didn't expect more out of life. He was going to stay at that level. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him and did not say, "Oh, Gideon, you poor runt of the litter, you. You awkward, backward, unsocial, disqualified little man you are." No, the first word out of the angel's mouth was, "Gideon, you mighty man of valor." I'm sure Gideon probably, "Who? Me? Me? You talking about me? I know what I am. I know who I am. I'm the farthest thing from a mighty man of valor. I know there's a war going on, and I know Israel needs a champion and a hero and a military leader, but not me." But it was him. So don't undervalue who you are today, right now at this level where you are. Even before you go to the next level, thank God for who you are already in Him. Only in Him. There will always be obstacles to overcome. And God, like He did Gideon, will give you an assignment big enough that you will need Him to succeed. If God has given you an assignment that you don't need Him, it's not His assignment. If you're trying to do anything that you can do without God, it's not God. You can be at a low level, and many are, entry level. Don't stay there. And even while you are there, make the mess you're in glorious and realize the value that's already in you, who you are today. And take care of the assignment God has for you to do at that level. Another Old Testament example of not undervaluing who you are today is Zerubbabel. Now, Zerubbabel, you'll find his story in the book of Zechariah, and especially chapter 4. He was assigned from the Lord to rebuild the temple. It was in ruins, and he was assigned to rebuild it. Now, a generation or so later, God raised up Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of the city there. And God speaks to Zerubbabel when He called him to go and restore the temple. And Zerubbabel said, "I've got challenges, obstacles, many reasons I can't." And God said, "The mountain in front of you will be made flat before you." And Zerubbabel said these words, "Who art thou, O great mountain?" There's a mountain facing you. Whatever level you're in right now, there's an assignment from the Lord you've got to accomplish there. And when you do, that's your passport to the next level, the next higher level for your life. And what Zerubbabel did is he commanded the mountain to identify itself. Some of us need to do that now. Wherever you are, whatever level, there are challenges to the assignment of God for you right now at that level. We need to do what Zerubbabel did. Who are you, O great mountain? Identify yourself. What enemy is facing you? Don't run from it. Make it identify itself. Call that enemy out. It might be guilt from previous failures. Everybody in here's failed. Everybody. Everybody, I said, that's a good place for somebody to say, "Oh, me." Everybody in here has a previous failure on their record. That may be a mountain, at least in your own mind. What about financial difficulties? Debt can choke life out of you. What about sickness in your body or a physical disability or weakness that an enemy, a mountain in front of you could say, hey, here's what's going to limit you. No, there's no way, no chance. You think that's God's assignment for you at this level, but no way. Because look at you. Don't you remember? Yada, yada, yada. What about lack of preparation? You just size yourself up in the moment and realize, I can't do what God is asking me to do, even at this level. And so you do what Zerubbabel did. You call that enemy out. You call the mountain out. I tell you, look, we speak to mountains. Hello. That's what makes us different than the Muslims and the Jews. Maybe the Jews do, I'm not sure. The Hindus and all of the other dudes. When we see an enemy, even if it's inanimate, if it's a mountain, Jesus said, whosoever says to that mountain, hey, we talk to our mountains and we call them out. Who art thou, O great mountain? And then when the mountain identifies itself, whatever enemy you're facing at the level of glory where you are right now, then we have a surprise for the mountain. We tell the mountain how big our God is. Don't undervalue who you are right now. You're going to be more than you are. God's going to use you in even greater ways. That's what He has planned for me and for you. But don't undervalue who you are today. Secondly, don't undervalue where you are today. So many people want to be somewhere else. Anywhere but here. I'm tired of here. I've taken it long enough. I'm ready to escape. I want a way out. If I knew I had to do this the rest of my life, I'd kill myself right now. Anybody ever thought of that? Lord, when are you going to deliver me? Lord, David said, how much longer am I going to see my enemies have victory over me? I'm ready for deliverance. I'm ready for rescue. Amen. I don't like where I am right now. I'd rather be there. The most discouraging words in the English language are, I would have thought by now. We thought we'd be much further along, at a much higher level of God's glory than where we are. God has a different timetable. In Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10 specifically, the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel. He was feeling this way too. The assignment of the Lord was on his life. He couldn't figure it all out. And he was not where he needed to be, he thought. And the Lord spoke to him and said, do not despise the day of small things. And so you may be living in a day at this level of small things. Smallness. You'd rather live larger than you are, accomplish greater things than you are. But if you're in a day of small things, don't despise it, because your passport to a better place, a higher level, is how you handle yourself with the small matters. I tell you, details are very important. You will never have the spirit of excellence on your life, on your business, on your relationships, on your marriage, ministry ever without giving attention to small things. Small things matter. And so don't despise the day of small things. Judah, here's the story about Judah. Now, we love Judah because to us it's praise. But Judah, when it was not a nation, when it was not even a kingdom, it was called a household. It was the household of Judah. How pitiful is that? Not a kingdom. The great Judah we love today. Wasn't a nation, wasn't a kingdom. It was a household when David went there. Judah was poor and despised and unorganized. But David showed up, and the people in the household of Judah asked David to become their king, and he did. And he behaved there in Judah at that low level in such a way. He behaved right there in Judah at that low level as though he were king of the greatest nation on earth. And 7 years later, he was anointed king of Israel, the greatest nation on earth. But before he got to that large place of being king of Israel, and still to this day, the greatest king Israel has ever had. Before he got to that large place, he was in a smaller place, but he behaved himself. Anytime you're in a smaller place waiting on your larger door to open, realize it's an opportunity to be faithful in small things. Because the Lord knows the way you handle small things, you're going to handle bigger things the same way. You're ruled in or out. You get your passport, yes or no, at the lower level when you're dealing with small things. You will always become in the small place what you will be in the large place. Now, whatever level you're at right now, and all of us are still growing, none of us are at the top level yet. But we're not at the finish line. It's not over. We're not yet all we will be. But where we are right now is not unimportant. Where you are right now is not insignificant. It's crucial to the next level. And whether you ever get there or not, you get your passport to the next level while you're right here where you are today. So don't undervalue where you are. For every destiny, there is a discipline. For every calling, there is a classroom. For every promised land, there is a wilderness to get through. This is how we get our passport to an even greater place, an even larger place. And every level is an opportunity to be faithful. Jesus said, "He who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much." So David, when he was just leading a household, behaved the same way in that small day as he would later behave when he was on the throne of Israel as its king. I remember many years ago when we lived in Spartanburg and went to Evangel Cathedral, largest church in South Carolina at the time, seats 5,000 people. And our pastor, our bishop, Houston Miles, was the founder and was the pastor of that church at the time. And there was a huge concert, 5,000 people rocking the church house on a Saturday night. And then as soon as that huge concert was over on a Saturday night, people in the church had to clean it up, get it ready for Sunday morning service. And so those who had volunteered to do that were cleaning the carpet, picking up trash off the floor, knowing that, well, the big concert was great, but it's over and we've got to get the sanctuary ready for church in the morning. And one person, a young man who wasn't even a member of the church, he attended the concert, but he wasn't even a part of that church, stayed with the volunteers and went around picking up trash off the floor and straightening things up and just jumped right in, pitched in, and was a blessing. And one of the staff went up to him and said, "You know, excuse me, you're not even a member here. We appreciate your help, but you don't have to do this. You're not even a member here." And this young man said, "I'm not a member here, but I'm working on my future. I'm working on my destiny." Now see, such a small thing, but he was faithful in that. You know, I don't even know that man's name. He's liable to be somewhere big right now. Because he was faithful in a small. He was faithful where he was when it was small. And somebody who will be faithful with a small thing, that says to heaven, "I can trust him with great things because he was faithful with that little, and he'll be the same way with much." So I'm working on my destiny, that man said. Another thing that I will never forget. And see, our church is 30 years old this year. And so we've been through a lot. We've seen God's glory a lot. And we've been able to reflect it a lot. And after 30 years, some of you who have some age on you, you've been in this journey long enough to know some things already and still wanting to learn more. And there is more to learn for all of us. But I remember when we were on Coit Street in a two-story building on the corner of Coit and Chevis. Anybody remember our church in those days? Some of you may have been there. It had been a bank building, and it was empty and nothing going on in it for a few years, a little run down, but we desperately needed a place to have services. So this building was given to us free of rent. We didn't have to pay anything for it. And we walked in, Brenda and I, the first time we walked in, the owner of the building took us in, and we looked around, and we saw carpet unraveling, and the ceiling was falling down a little, and it needed paint desperately. But I could see the potential in it, and we were desperate. When you're desperate, that matters. And I looked at it, and I thought, well, you know, we could fit in here right now. This could serve us well, at least for a while. So I said to the man, we'll take it. How much do you want for it? How much rent? And he said, not one dime. Use it as long as you want to for the glory of God. Now, we stayed there for a while, and our church continued to grow. And we were getting cramped. And also, we were noticing more the dingy, the dirty, the parts of the building that didn't look. And we were a little ashamed at some point when visitors came and they saw how dingy and dirty. So we really thought, it's time to move. We just cannot grow anymore here. Hey, we cannot grow anymore here. You ever felt like that? We cannot grow anymore here. At this level, I want to be somewhere else. I want out of here. I'm ready to grow up again. But you can't get there just yet. We felt like we couldn't grow anymore there. But then we realized, well, we have an option. Always good to have an option. We could move. We could find another building, move the church to another building. Now, if we do that, we're going to have to pay money, lots of money, much more money, because we were paying nothing there. But the other option is, this man has given us the use of this building free. Told us to use it for the glory of God. As long as we wanted it, it would be free. Now, we can move to another building right now. Or we can knock down this wall and knock down that wall and double or triple the size of the sanctuary so that we could continue growing our church. We could paint the ceiling. We could re-carpet the floor. We could paint the wall. We could turn this place into something glorious. It's a mess right now, but we could turn this place into something a lot more glorious and stay here for a while longer, rent-free. And as we were praying about the options, this word came to us, Luke 16 and verse 12, where Jesus said, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? That settled it for us. We said, we're going to invest a little bit of money, paint this place, put some carpet down, knock down a wall or two. We're going to stay here and grow a little while longer here. So being faithful in smaller days, in smaller things, in small details will help grant you a passport to a larger place in the future, your next level of glory. All right, I'm ready to wrap it up. I'm having fun now, but I don't want to have too much fun all at one time. Point number one, don't undervalue who you are today. Number two, don't undervalue where you are today. And my final point, don't undervalue what you have today. You don't have everything in your hand you're going to need. But you have all you need today at this level. How you manage it, how you steward it, that's a part of determining your passport to get from this level to your next level of greater glory. Don't undervalue what you have today. This is so very important. God said to Moses one time, "What's in your hand?" It was nothing but a rod, a stick. But the powerful question God will ask Moses and us sometimes, what do you have to work with? Now, you don't have all you're going to need at the next level I have planned for you, but you have an assignment where you are at this level right now. Oh, other doors are going to open to lead that will lead to larger places in your future. You're going to need more in your hand when that day comes, but right now, what do you got to work with? What is in your hand? And don't undervalue what you have today. That's all you need today to accomplish God's purpose for your day today. God also said to Joshua, when Joshua was leading the army of God to take a city, the city of Ai, a battle was about to incur, and God spoke to Joshua and said, "Stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward the city you're about to fight." Stretch out the spear that's in your hand. Well, now, if you're getting ready to go penetrate a thick wall that's surrounding a city, protecting a city, and they've got a huge army inside that wall, and you're going to conquer that city, you're going to need a lot more than a spear. But there's something about the principle of using what you have in your hand right now. You might need more tomorrow in your hand, but what you have right now, do something with it today, even if it's just stretching it out toward an enemy. So God asked Moses, "What's in your hand?" God instructed Joshua, "Stretch out the spear that's in your hand." And then another Old Testament story that is encouraging along these lines is God speaking to Elijah. Told Elijah, "Arise, get up from where you are and go to a city called Zarephath." And God said, "I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So Elijah obeys the instruction of the Lord. He goes to the city, and as soon as he gets to the city, he sees a little widow gathering sticks. And it was obvious she was going to build a fire and do some cooking with the sticks. And Elijah the prophet, who was hungry and thirsty, said to this widow, "Please, would you give me something to drink?" And she said, "Okay." So this widow lady turned to leave and go get some water to bring back to Elijah. And in 1 Kings 17 and 11, the Bible says this, "And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.'" So whatever you have in your hand today, it may just be a morsel. It may look like crumbs compared to what you will need tomorrow or at a future level, but what you have in your hand right now could make the difference between life and death for somebody. Who you are right now, where you are right now, and what you have right now are to be valued highly. And of course, you know the rest of that story. This lady answers Elijah and says, wish I could bring you something to eat too. But the truth is, I'm gathering these sticks for one last meal. My son and I are going to eat one last meal." She said this, "I only have a little bit of flour, or a handful of flour and a little bit of oil." She said, "I only have a handful and a little bit. Enough for one more meal for two people, then we're going to die. We'll starve to death. Like all the neighbors around here, they've already starved to death. We have only this much left, and then we too." That was her plan. Look, don't undervalue what you have today. Her plan was only have a handful and a little bit. But what she did with that handful and little bit granted her a passport to, it wasn't many days after that, her cupboard was filled for the rest of her life. She never had a shortage because she did the right thing with what she had in her hand. You may only have a handful and a little bit. Do the right thing with that. Be faithful with that. Don't underestimate what you have today. Even though it's not all you will ever need, you will need much, much more. And you will get it if you're faithful in the little bit, the handful in the little bit that you have right now. Don't undervalue what you have right now. Bow your heads. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord that's sharp and clear. It's encouraging to us. Thank you for the big picture being a beautiful one. We are still on a journey. None of us have achieved everything. None of us have arrived at our destination. But it's so important, so critically important during these days that we're faithful even in small things. I speak a blessing over the people of God who've honored you on the Sabbath, the Lord's day, to come and give you praise and worship and to believe, to hear you speak a word that can make a difference for the rest of our lives. I pray that this coming week would be by far so much more blessed than last week was for every man and woman, every young person and child here today, simply because you reward those who seek you. And the men and women here today are seekers after God, found their way to church this morning for an appointment with God. I pray, Lord, that each of us have heard exactly what we needed to hear. I thank you for being good to your children. Our confession is now and always has been and always will be, you are the best father to your children. And we thank you for being this good to us. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Stand if you will. Everybody standing. Thank you for worshiping with us today. The Heger family, Tony and Heather, are presenting their beautiful baby girl, Peyton, in dedication to the Lord in just a few minutes right here on this stage. And as we always do here, if the family is so inclined, we invite any of you to stay and be a part of that. And the Hegers welcome any of you who would like to stay for a few minutes after our service this morning and witness a beautiful baby dedication to the Lord. But if you must leave, do so now. Thank you for being here today. Nothing going on in the sanctuary this Wednesday night. I'll see you next Sunday morning on Father's Day. A beautiful baby dedication about to begin in 5 minutes. Every season, where would I be? Not for your grace. You came to my rescue. And I want to thank you for your grace. Like a river. Belong. Only you